Good morning. Happy Mother's Day. My name is Laura, for those of you who don't know. And what you miss watching at homes in your comfy houses is I just broke a glass vase like 2 seconds or 2 minutes ago. So we have glass all over here, but I think I had some help and I think we picked it up. But on that note, we are going to give an authentic Mother's Day sermon. I wish I could say my child knocked that over, but they did it. It was me who knocked it over. So anyway, on that note, happy Mother's Day. I'm so glad to join you guys today. Let me pray for us before we begin. Holy Spirit, I ask that you would fill me with your Holy Spirit. Right now, I know that there are moms that are desperate to hear from you. And frankly, I know that there are dads and kids and individuals, women and men, children, that are desperate to hear from you this morning. This isn't a light, cute thing. They are longing to hear from their father. And sometimes we don't know. We've been snacking on junk food all week that we don't realize. I'm so hungry for a steak. Holy Spirit, would you come? Would you bless this time? You who walk through walls, would you enter our homes? And would you minister to us now? And I even pray for those that aren't watching this today, that might be watching this in years to come, and it's not even Mother's Day. Thank you that you are not bound by time and space, and that if there's words today for them, I ask that they would be spoken, and that people would be uplifted and encouraged by your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I am a mom. For those of you who don't know, I have 6 children. Elijah John made me a mom in 2004, which means he's almost 16. And then Abel Justice came, and he is almost 13. Nope, he's almost 14. Sorry, Abel. And then Noelle Scarlett came, and she will be 12 this summer. And then Amish James will be 10 this summer. Ezra Zion is squarely 7. His birthday's in February. And then Caleb Michael will be 5 this summer. So there you go. 5 kids born in the summer and then 1 in the winter. So I'm thankful for them. I'm thankful that God called me into motherhood. It wasn't on my list when I graduated college. It wasn't my aspiration. And the Lord interrupted everything. And I'm so thankful to have them in my life every day. I love you guys. But I'm also have had the privilege of calling 2 women mom. I'm a daughter as well. And the Lord has given me the blessing of knowing 2 women that I called mom, one stepmom, but I've always called them both mom. They're unique in their own ways, and they have both sown separate things into me. I've learned gentleness, kindness, grace. I've learned endurance, perseverance, forgiveness. They're mighty women in my life, and I am in large part who I am due to their mothering, due to their care, due to their discipleship, due to their rearing. Now, I told you that for 2 reasons. 1, to honor them. So happy Mother's Day, moms. I hope to be able to see you in person sometime soon. Really, I'm saying that because you both live in Florida and North Carolina, and I want to go on a trip. But secondly, I'm saying that because clearly by virtue of me saying that I have 2 moms, my story did not necessarily go as planned. And really, their story didn't necessarily go as planned. Nobody plans on getting divorced, but things happen. Circumstances happen. And that is part of my story. I say that to say that maybe your story is similar. Maybe Mother's Day has a twinge of pain to it, and you think there's a broken relationship, or there's infant loss, or there's infertility, or there's desired relationship with a mom that I didn't have or a child that I want to connect with better. Not all of our stories are picture perfect. In fact, I want to say no one's story is picture perfect, but God. Because God is in the habit of working with people just like you and just like me. And if we invite him into our story and him into our narrative, the narrative that we've possibly chosen or that was chosen for us, beloved, he can make a tapestry that is beyond beautiful, where you stand and celebrate your story, because with God, there is always hope. He is never finished, and redemption always comes. I first realized that Mother's Day wasn't always bunnies and roses when I was a kid. Growing up, we either went to a base chapel, because my dad was in the military, or we went to a church. And each church kind of had a different way of handling it. Now, the world kind of handles Mother's Day one way. We say we need to give these ladies lots of chocolate, lots of candy, and send them out. in theory, or we need to just like give them a retreat. And the church, Mother's Day is always on Sunday, right? So the church tries to respond. And I saw different churches respond different ways. Now, one of my favorite memories is of a base chapel. I don't know where it's at, so no judgy, because I don't remember what state it was in. But they had a policy of when you walked into the church, they gave everyone a carnation, not a rose, a carnation. And they would say, "Is your mother alive or has she passed?" And when they asked you that, if you said, "My mom's alive, she's right here, I'm holding her hand," they would hand you a carnation, and you would walk around with a carnation. And then they said, "If your mom's passed, you get a white rose." And I always found that, our white carnation, I always found that weird walking around. Do people like carrying their white carnations, or do they like being acknowledged, like, "This isn't a happy day for me"? See? I don't know. I thought it was odd. But then, how about all the other people who weren't moms? Well, another church just said, "You know what we're going to do? We're going to avoid the carnation bit all around." They gave out yellow flowers to everybody. So we all walked around with a yellow flower on Mother's Day. So it was their way of trying to navigate something tricky. And it can be tricky. Everybody comes at Mother's Day with a different heart or a different pain or a different journey. And bless this church or this chapel who is trying to navigate, where are people at? How do we reach them? Well, beloved, I would say today, this is a totally different Mother's Day, right? I'm standing in a lobby. You are all in your homes. You're not walking in the doors right now. We're not hugging one another and saying Happy Mother's Day. You know what I do every year? I find myself hugging woman after woman as they come in the store. "Happy Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day. I love you." And inevitably, I turn and hug a man and go, "Happy Mother's." You know, and you're like, "Never mind. Well, you have a mom. Happy Mother's Day to you." It's just awkward. What do we do? So, you know what? Praise the Lord, we get to skip that this year, right? You're all in your homes. I'm here. What if the Lord has a different message for us today? What if he has a different approach to it? Beloved, I think he does. I think this plague has allowed for so many marvelous things to be planted in soil and grown. So let's listen to what he says today. Instead of putting us all in categories today, what category do you fit in? Are you a mom? Do you want to be a mom? Did you have a mom? Instead of doing that, and categorizing us, why don't we just look to God and say, "God, what do you say today? Not where am I at on this journey, but what do you want to say?" So let's listen to him. Growing up, we always went out to eat after church. It was my dad's policy that his wife or wives should not have to cook. And so we always would go to a restaurant, not of our choice, but of dad's choice. And then as he got older, he kind of brought us into the boat. But he would say, "You know, she shouldn't have to cook. She cooks all the days of the week, so we don't want mom to have to cook today." Now, in retrospect, I know my dad loved him a good buffet, so I kind of wonder if he's like killing two birds with one stone. But we were always often found eating out after church. Except on Mother's Day, the roles changed. Now, I should clarify, too, where we ate was no McDonald's. Dad would often, again, because he wanted a good meal, we would eat at sit-down restaurants, so right in the middle of the road. But on Mother's Day, he upped it a notch, and we would find some of the fanciest buffets in whatever state we were stationed in. I specifically remember we'd walk into these places, and we were a family, we were a large family. And so I remember we would walk in, and they would set a table before us, and they would highlight my mom, who was with us. They would pull a chair out, or my dad would pull my mom's chair out first. And ideally, she would be seated first. Sometimes I didn't clue in, and I plopped down. But she would be seated. And then they would pick a napkin up, and they would place it on her lap. And then they would come, and they would say, "Is your cup empty? I want to fill your cup." And they would pour champagne into her cup. And then she would eat a meal that satisfied. Not a granola bar, not something that leaves you hungry in 1 hour, but a meal that satisfied her. And additionally, we all ate as well. And so what that meant was her chores for the day that would normally be on her plate was gone. She didn't have to cook for us. And to even up it again, she didn't have to clean up anything. And so we all left with full bellies, no complaints, and nobody had to clean up. It was awesome. There was a study done. And the question was, "Mothers, what do you want for Mother's Day?" So what they said was different, but the category of what they said came out time and time again. Mothers typically wanted rest. They wanted appreciation. They wanted pampering. That was just on their list. Well, unfortunately, beloved, if those are the things that you would normally enjoy, if you would normally enjoy some sort of pampering hair or nails or whatever, if you'd enjoy rest and retreat, if you would enjoy just time to get away, unfortunately, most of those things are not available to you this year. But because of that, what if this year is meant to be different? What if this isn't an accident that we're all going through this plague? But what if God is using it by intention and he has something different planned for you? What if God wants to satisfy you today? So I experienced that a little bit this year. As I said earlier, my dad was in the military and we moved around a lot. And so we lived literally from coast to coast. But additionally, when he got out of the military, he got a job with Northwest Airlines. And so after we were done moving, we could then fly wherever we wanted, which means that the sand in the beaches of North Carolina was often found in my toes. And it means the mountains of Alaska and literally watching the whales come up for air was often out my window or just a very short drive away. I grew up loving mountains, the desert, the ocean, the canyons. I loved it all. I loved all regions. To this day, I still love all regions of this nation. And I love seeing it all, and it's satisfying. So because of that, you will find in the last 4 years, now that our kids are a little bit older, my birthday in April means my husband and I are on a plane to see any one of those things. I don't care. I'm not, I'm open to all options. I'll take a canyon. I'll take the ocean. I'll take a mountain. Generally, I won't ask for a Midwest field, but I will take any of those. Not to mention, spring break is also where we like to take our children, to any of those places. I love the sounds, the food, the culture, the landscape of all those places. So I want to give that to our children. I want to taste that. It's invigorating to me. I think when you grow up seeing those things, or you grow up tasting of those things, it's invigorating. And it's a little bit addictive. And I use that word on purpose because once I see a little bit, I just want more. I come home from my trip in April. I come home from my trips in March. You know what I'm doing? I do it before I get home. On the drive home, I'm like, okay, where can we go next year? So much so that the kids and I have this goal. We want to see all 48 states before they graduate. And when I say the kids and I, really, it's just me and one or two kids. The rest of them are just kind of along for the ride. But I have this insatiable desire to see more. And I suspect once I see all 48, I'm still going to be hungry. Then it's going to be the state parks. Then it's going to be a mountain that I haven't seen or a river that I haven't swam in. So I love seeing it all. And something happened to me this year. In March, when things started shutting down in our economy and started shutting down all over, I was like, ain't no big deal. I know this will all be opened up because the best month of my life is April, and it's coming. The end of March and then April. It's when I had these trips and these things. And slowly but surely, I realized I'm not going to get my trips. And the day I realized that the very thing I look forward to, I put my hope in, the day I realized that those were over and that those were not happening, that was a sad day. That was a heavy, heavy day. And, you know, you realize, honestly, you're convicted. You're like, why have I put all my hope in something that I can't have? That's a little bit ridiculous. But it, needless to say, it was heavy to me. Now, I went to bed that night, and when I woke up, the Lord spoke to me. He doesn't do that all the time like this, but, beloved, he spoke to me through his word, and his word will always draw us in. And he said, I can satisfy you. Remember, I've been teaching on this a little bit. Some of you may have heard. I open my hand and I satisfy the desire of every living thing. And I thought, am I hearing you right? I get that you can satisfy my desire to be loved, my desire to like have whatever, but you can satisfy this? And he said, yes. And I said, Lord, how? And he said, not only can I satisfy this desire in landlocked Minnesota, I can satisfy this desire in your neighborhood. No, I'm not ditching on Minnesota. I love Minnesota. I'm just saying I like to like get out, but I have learned Minnesota's beautiful. When I heard that invitation, it blew my mind. Never had I thought, Lord, you satisfy the desire? Because at the root of the desire is not necessarily to see things. The root of the desire is rest. The root of the desire is adventure. Things we're created for. Well, beloved, of course he can fulfill it right here. You know, some people lost their NHL season. Wink, wink, Mr. Krause. Some people lost their March Madness. Some people lost weddings. Some people lost birthday parties. Some people lost spring break trips. Losing my trip felt as heavy as that. But the idea that the Lord would use that to speak to me and draw near was an incredible invitation. And I would say, Mom, I would say today, I believe that invitation still stands, not just for my birthday, not just for the spring break trips that we lost, not just for whatever your story is that you lost. You know, a lot of moms might go to a nail salon today to get their nails done. But what happens in two very short weeks? It chips. It falls off. It's not sustained. Some moms might go get a massage. But what happens even in a week? You have to go back. Your muscles tighten up again. It doesn't last. Some moms prefer to get the loved chocolate bar on Mother's Day. And they'll say, thank you guys for the chocolate. But what happens when we eat one chocolate bar? We want another and another and another. And we aren't satisfied. They aren't satisfied. We are left in hunger. We are left in want. But beloved, I believe the Lord's word to you today is if you are willing, ask him to fill your cup. Because if you drink from him, you will never thirst again. God gives us a picture that he actually wants to serve us. I just want to pause on that and repeat it again. The God of all creation, the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. He says, I want to serve my children. I want to come low and serve them. He says in Matthew 20:28, the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve. And he says again in Luke 22:27, he says, I am among you as one who serves. He delights in it. He says, the greatest among you is going to become the least. So you are part of a family where your father, who owns the entire earth, says, child, can I serve you today? Our goal is to become like children before him. He says, unless you become like a child, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. He says, the proud I know from afar, but the humble I can draw near to. So if you would humble yourself instead of satisfying ourselves, if we come and say, I've got nothing. I have nothing left to fill me up, God. He says, that's the perfect combination for me to pour in, child. Ask of me. I delight in serving you. If you have your sword with you, go ahead and turn to Psalm 23. And while you're all saying, Miss Laura, or Laura, I know Psalm 23. I agree. We do. But let's let his word feed us again. God gives us the picture of a shepherd and a sheep. And most of us know the 23rd Psalm, or at least have heard it, the 23rd Psalm. But there are over 400 references through the whole of Scripture where we are compared to a sheep, and he calls himself a shepherd. And a good chunk of them are in the Old Testament. It's not just the New Testament, where he says, you know, I'm really realizing that if I give you guys this picture, you're going to get it, because a lot of you are shepherds. So he says, I'm like a shepherd, and you guys are like my sheep. So you think, what is a shepherd like and what is a sheep like? Well, a shepherd's number one job is to get low, to serve the sheep. He's not doing something else with his career. He's not doing something else with his life. He is waiting and serving these sheep. He's protecting them. He's nurturing them. We see in the 23rd Psalm, without a shepherd, sheep can accomplish very, very little on their own. They're just not capable of it. They're not capable of knowing where they need to go. They're not capable of executing and solving a problem. Without a shepherd, sheep will not eat. Why? Because they don't know where the pastures are. They can't get themselves to a new pasture. Without a shepherd, sheep can't drink. They can't find the water. They don't know how to get to the water. It's not intuitive. I've enjoyed studying sheep and shepherds in the past, and there's study after study that show even when water is around the corner, if the sheep don't see it, they will baa in a herd because they have this. They are a herd animal. They will not depart from one another, and they will stay there longing for water that literally is right around the corner because they need a leader to even take them to water. And without a shepherd, sheep are vulnerable to attack. They can't protect themselves. They don't even know what's on the horizon. So, beloved, are you tired today? Are you weary? Do you need a green pasture? Do you need a still water? I'm not just telling you God's your servant. God is a servant. Jesus is a servant. Just because it's cute. It's the very thing he loves to do. He says, I am a good shepherd. And you know what I do? I not only protect my sheep, I will lay my life down for my sheep. That's the kind of shepherd we talk to. The Lord is my shepherd. I will not be found in want. He makes me lie down by green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. Chocolate has never restored anybody's soul. Nails, massage, they cannot do that. They cannot give you that which you are longing for, beloved. But the one who can is called your shepherd, and he says, come to me. Are you tired? Are you weary? You who have no money, come. I will make you lie down. And you know what I'm going to do? When I make you lie down, I will restore your soul. Even though you feel like you're walking through the valley of the shadow of death, you don't have to be afraid. Why? Because the shepherd stands and watches. You will fear no evil. His rod and his staff, they will comfort you. He prepares a table before you. He says, come, sheep. I'm going to prepare a table before you in the presence of your enemies. And you know what I'm going to do with your cup today? Your cup will overflow. Why? Because I'm living water, and you'll never thirst again when you drink of the living water. You will always hunger again with this, but you will never thirst again when you drink of the living water. Scripture says that he prepares a table before us also in the Song of Solomon. He says he brings us to a banqueting table. This is his idea, not my idea. It almost feels provocative to suggest that our king would desire to serve us today. But Scripture teaches us. It's who he is. And I would say, as we follow one who loves us, as we follow one who serves us, he just makes us like him. We find that we want to serve too. We want to be like him. So today, you're not going out to eat in your fancy restaurants, unless you live in Georgia, good for you. You're not going out to eat in your fancy restaurants. But maybe, just maybe, the table can come to your home today. Maybe the table that he prepares for you today will satisfy you. What would God put at a table if he were to prepare a table before you? He says, I myself, God, I prepare a table before you in the presence of your enemies. Perhaps God would put flowers there. Perhaps he would want you to just pause. Perhaps when you come to this table, you are tired. Remember, we're a sheep. We're not coming here where we have all these stored up things that we've satisfied ourselves. We need him, and we know we need him. As you sit at the table, he's saying, pause, receive this. Perhaps he would put food at the table that he knows would satisfy you. He's not serving you candy bars. Like my mother on her Mother's Day brunches, he would put food at that table that satisfies, that sticks with you, that fills your belly. God would say, child, let me fill your cup. Let me pour some carbonated grape juice into your cup. Let me pour it until it's overflowing. Did it run dry? That's okay. I'm the living water. I can keep pouring. Because if you come to me, you will never thirst again. We have this table of him inviting us and saying, come, eat, you who have no money. Come, buy, eat, drink. Drink of the living water of life. Come, you. He's no respecter of persons, even you. I would even say, if you're not a mom, this invitation is to all of us, specifically you who have no money. Come, buy, eat, and drink. I have a question for you. He prepares this table before us. But where is Jesus in this picture? He is the server. He is wearing the apron, with the nail-scarred hands, walking around, serving us. Saying, can I get you some more? You need more peace? You need to know that your sins are as far as the east from the west? Yes. We even, beloved, have the picture of while he's serving us, The greatest becomes the least. He gets so low that he says, can I wash your feet today? No, you're not going to go to massage. No, you're not going to get your nails done, but we don't want that anymore. Can I wash your feet? Can I tell you that I have made you clean because of my blood, not because of what you've done? I have washed you. Can we receive his foot washing today? Because he came to serve. So, as you sit here, what weights did you sit down with? What burdens were you carrying as you sat down? I think one of the number one lies that mothers struggle with is, I'm not enough. I'm not doing enough. I'm not good enough. I am not like this and this and this person. And beloved, I want to say to you, I think it's far more simple than that. I love books. I love books. I like to read them and try to write them. But they can overcomplicate things that are meant to be quite simple. I think a mark of a fantastic mother that I am aspiring to be, I'm not arrived, is just to simply tell your children, point them to the Lord. I think God's intention of motherhood is simply one generation to share it with another generation. Psalm 145, 4 says, one generation shall commend your works to the next. That's it. One generation will tell the next generation, this is who God is. This is what God does. And I will declare your wondrous works, it said. One generation, I'm just going to tell the next generation. I actually don't even get how he split the Red Sea, child, but he did something that is remarkable. I don't even get how he walked on water, but we serve a king who can walk on water. And I don't fully understand why he said, I love you that I'm willing to die for you, but you have a king that loves you. Just tell them. One generation to tell. Psalm 102:18 says, record these things for a generation yet to come, for a generation yet to be born. Just one generation telling the next generation. Laura, is it really that simple? Aren't you like dumbing it down? Of course, there's 100 other things you can do. But if you share with them, there is a God. He created you. He loves you and he died for you. It's a win. Why do I know this? Well, one of the first things I think of is I have a dear friend whose parents did the exact opposite. Because their parents did the exact opposite. Because their parents did the exact opposite. There is no God. There is no creator. And because there's no creator, of course he doesn't love you because he doesn't exist. You just happened. And I love you, but there is no God. All of this just happened. And please stop saying that you think he loves you because he doesn't. Because he doesn't exist. One generation telling the next generation, tell the next generation. It is very simple to transfer that information, and it is very simple to transfer the other. So of course you don't know what to do. But neither did King Jehoshaphat in 2 Chronicles 22, when he was king over Israel, and he's looking out, and an army is coming in, and he's king. He's supposed to be being their leader. He's supposed to know what to do, and he prays a prayer that I have loved for many years, and I will love till the day I die. He humbles himself before the Lord. He fasts. He gets low. And he prays his prayer. God, I don't know what to do, but my eyes are on you. And he calls the whole assembly together and says, let's pray that. Lord, we don't know what to do, but our eyes are upon you. Beloved, that's the beauty of motherhood. If we can just get that, there's a God. He made you. He loves you. I'm not him. I mess up. You have a question? I don't know the answer. But let me point you and myself to the one who does. God, child, pray with me. We don't know what to do. This is a king who prayed this. As mothers, we're invited to do the same thing. Tired mom, as you sit there today with the weight of the world on your shoulder, his rod and his staff is ready to comfort you. As you hear different accusations, and some of you have sat down today quite weary, and you feel like you're in the valley of the shadow of death. Perhaps you feel like you're in the Psalm 139, even if I make my bed in the valley. I want to say to you, beloved, still he is there. Still he goes even into those valleys with you. And maybe you want to say, Jesus, I see that you're the one who's filling my cup and serving me at this table, but today would you sit down beside me? And he says, I delight to you. Because once again, I want to remind all of us, COVID does not stop Jesus from coming into our homes. Nothing is too hard for the Lord. He literally walked through walls when he walked the earth, and he would delight to walk into your home, to walk to your table, and to wash your feet today, because he did not come to be served, but to serve. I want to pray for everyone, for those of you today who would like to respond. We're going to close in worship now, but I would like to give an opportunity for those who are saying, Miss Laura, my heart is heavy. I need to encounter God again today. I would love a fresh touch for him. Remember, this invitation is not just for mothers. It's for all of us. He says, whoever is hungry, whoever is thirsty today, come. I can make your cup overflow. I will fill it to overflowing. I often think of the picture of the woman. We have another picture of a woman who also needed Jesus. Nothing else could help her. Nothing else could fix her. Nothing could satisfy her. You see, she was caught in adultery. And the sentence for adultery was death. But God. Jesus came on the scene as this woman is in the center of a circle with accusers telling the truth. Sometimes we really have sinned and we need to come to God and ask us for his forgiveness and his cleansing. Telling the truth. This is who you are and we will kill you for it. But God. But Jesus comes in their midst. And he says, whoever has not sinned, cast the first stone. And the older men set down their stones first and they walk away. And when Jesus comes in the midst, beloved, we see every accuser flee. Every accuser, every one of those people walked away. And Jesus said to her, woman, where are your accusers? Because in my presence, they are not allowed. In my presence, there is no room for them. When I am on the scene, darkness flees. When I come, darkness vanishes. It flees. I will come to the valley. I will come to the dark place. And I will rescue you. Even in the valley of the shadow of death. Even if you make your bed in self-despair. I will come in there. Where are your accusers, woman? Oh, beloved, sit at the table. Come to the banqueting table. Because in his presence, all of these fade. Jesus says, I prepare a table before you in the presence of your enemies. In the presence of your enemies. Every lie, every accusation that would seek to come against you, he says, I'll prepare a table even there. Because my rod and my staff, they will comfort you. So have a seat. Are you inadequate? That's okay. Have you failed? That's okay. We all have. Say, Jesus, forgive me. Come to me. And I believe he would come to you now and wash and be the lifter of your head. So I want to pray for you. Feel free to close your eyes wherever you're at. The Holy Spirit is moving. He's speaking. He's encouraging me. These words are just as much for me. I don't have this figured out. I just am going to God and saying, I look to you. Those who look to him are what? Their faces are radiant. Their faces are not covered with shame. This poor man sought the Lord and he heard him and delivered him from all his fears. So pray with me. Holy Spirit, whatever lie, whatever accusation, whatever torment is coming again, my brothers and sisters today, oh God, would you prepare a table before them right then? If you need to confess anything to God, just say, Lord, forgive me. Have mercy on me, a sinner. He's not afraid of us as sinners. He went straight to that woman caught in adultery and said, I forgive you. I love you. Lord, I ask that you would come. Minister as only you can, Holy Spirit. Today, on this Mother's Day, and 10 years from now, if this video is being watched, I ask that we would encounter the living God who helps us never hunger or thirst again. You pour your love on us. and you satisfy us. Thank you, Jesus, the one who came not to be served, but to serve. Amen.
And old things have passed.